Jeremiah, if you will, chapter 33, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I want to talk to you today about the goodness of God. Jeremiah 33. You ought to read the whole chapter to get the whole gist of what I'm going to preach on, but for the sake of time, let's start with verse 10. Jeremiah 33, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Underline that. For his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, again, in this place, which is desolate, without man, without beast, in the cities there, all the cities thereof shall be a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The goodness of God is part of his character. That's what God is. God is good. God is goodness. Not only is he holy and pure and perfect and upright in all his ways, but God is good. God's merciful because of his goodness. God's long-suffering because of his goodness. God's forgiving because of his goodness. God's forgetful because of his goodness. He cast our sins behind his back to remember them no more. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. God is good. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good. Amen. Now, unless you know the Lord, you don't know that. I remember when I thought God was angry all the time. I thought God hated me. I thought I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks and that God didn't love people like us. I remember when I thought rich people went to heaven and poor people went to hell. I remember when I thought about certain kinds of people would be saved and certain kinds would not. But see, God's good to everybody. I get up every day and I thank God for his goodness. He let me get up. I know a lot of people didn't get up yesterday. I know a lot of people who didn't get up a long time ago. They're in heaven or hell now. But God's been good to me. Undeserving as I am and undeserving as you are, God is good. God's good to us. Now, he does hate sin. Yes, he does. And he is angry with the wicked every day. But he's still good enough to save them if they'll just call on him and turn from their sins and turn to him. He'll save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because he's good. Psalm 65, verse 4. I'm going to go fast, so you might just want to write them down. Psalm 65, verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. God's good in that he's satisfied. God's goodness satisfies us. You find me somebody that's griping and complaining all the time, they don't know the God I know. God's goodness satisfies me. Undeserving, unworthy, and God's still good to me, that satisfies me. I'm not looking for another God. I'm not hunting another religion. I'm satisfied. Amen? Amen. Now, I might go down to, my wife and I was coming back from down around the state park. I can't remember the name of the state park. No, not Andrew Jackson. Watery State Park. We was coming back. We were hungry and wore out. And two old people out there on that lake, you know, paddling around in kayaks, you know, and people in pontoon boats laughing at us and pointing at us, you know, look at them old people. And God was good. He let me live through it. Amen. And then he let me get back. And as we were coming back, we were hungry and was trying to figure out what to eat. And I said, well, you get into Lancaster, Rock Hill, there's a Burger King. No. Well, we're going down. There's a Wendy's down there. I said, if we go to Wendy's, we're going to have to just pull up to the window and throw $10 in there and say, just give me whatever you already got, because I know you're going to do that anyway. Amen. And so we went on up and had another choice and another choice and another choice. I said, I'd rather eat a bologna sandwich at the house than I would eat at those places, because God's been good to me. I got bologna sandwiches. Amen. I don't have to eat out. God's good to me. And did you know that bologna sandwich would probably satisfy me with that sorry burger they didn't make right in the first place that I asked for? Amen. Amen. Well, the last time they got something right. And don't give them $1.10. It'll blow their mind. You better give them that plastic card. They don't know what to do with money. And but God's good to me. He satisfies me. He satisfies my longings. Amen. Why? Because he's good. God's good. When something's good, it satisfies. You don't need nothing else. My wife loves pinto beans. She loves pinto beans and cornbread. She cooks best cornbread in town. And she loves it. I see, there's some others like that too. And she'd rather have pinto beans and cornbread than she would a steak or a pork chop. She says it's good, and it satisfies her. Now, some of y'all ain't never eat that, and you don't know what satisfaction is. Because it's good. Amen? And when it's good, it'll satisfy you. Now, you get to know the God that we know, you'll be satisfied. You won't be hunting nowhere else. Amen? Amen. Listen, God's good. He's satisfying. Then in Psalm 23, most of you know Psalm 23, verse 6, he says this, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness is enduring. It'll never run out. You can't outlive it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I'm getting kind of old. I wake up in the morning, instead of saying good morning, Lord, I say good Lord this morning, you know, that kind of old. And I get up, but God's good enough to let me get up. And did you know that it's in every morning I get up and God's mercies are renewed every day. Every day. I got a new start every day. I probably blew yesterday, but I get to start over today. Amen. He let me live another day. I can start over. Why? Because God's good. If he wasn't good, he'd say, uh-oh, you done messed up now. You're firewood, buddy. You ain't going to heaven now. Amen. But God's satisfying. God's enduring. His goodness never runs out. And in Psalm 145, I'm going fast for your sake. Okay, I know it's hot in here. Psalm 145, verse 9 says this. He says, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Now, I grew up on the wrong side of the track, South Lancaster. And you don't know what bad is till you grow up on South Lancaster side. And but you know what? God's goodness was good to everybody over there that wanted it. Did you know I had to go on a blind date? Me and my wife, first time we dated, she was blind, I was to date. And I had to go on a blind date with a girl in Rock Hill before I could hear the gospel. I lived in Lancaster till I was 21 years old, never heard the gospel. I knew people went to church, but they didn't share nothing with me. My mom went to church, but me and my older, younger brother didn't. We was teenagers by the time she got saved. Nobody ever come shared the goodness of God with us. She rode church van. Nobody ever got off that van to come in there and talk to her sons. Had three pastors while I was living there. No pastor ever come to our house to talk to her sons. And look, don't you think that somebody would have thought that God was so good it would include everybody, including me and my little brother? And I came up here, and this little old girl got saved. My wife's best friend got saved, and she told us about it, and I thought she was crazy. And she invited us to her church, and I went to her church just to get her off my back. And that was the first time that I heard God was good, and that he loved me, and he didn't hate me, and he wanted me to go to heaven. He didn't want me to go to hell. And he sent his son to die in my place so I wouldn't have to go to hell. 21 years old, First time I ever knew it, but I found out that God was also good to a little long-haired redneck boy from the south side of Lancaster also. Amen. God's good to everybody. It's universal. The Muslim can get saved. The Hindu can be saved. The Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Baptist, whatever religion you got, God's good to everybody and anybody, universally, anywhere. Everybody can be saved. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That's universal. God's good to everybody. You say, what about those people living under Islam? He's good to them too. He's giving them opportunities to be saved. He's letting them live long enough to be saved. We're going to send them some Christmas boxes over there pretty soon, and some little old kid's going to go to a Bible study and learn about Jesus. Amen. Anybody can be saved. It's universal. Amen. Those weirdo politicians in Washington can get saved. It ain't too late. And most of them need it. Amen. So God's good is for, God's good is forever, and it's also for all. It's universal. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. And I grew up with a bad crowd, and every once in a while, I remember one time we were at the beach. That's before it was little Las Vegas. It was still the beach, you know, and we were young. And I was going up on this pier, and this little old girl, we had Jesus freaks back then. We didn't have, I never knew any real Christians, but I'd run over on some Jesus freaks down at the beach, you know, and they'd be passing out stuff. This little old girl said, smile, God loves you. And I told her, this is what I told her, I'll never remember, and it makes me cry now. I laughed at her, and I said, I wouldn't bet on that if I was you. I didn't know any good people, but God was good. And did you know God could have saved me? Then, as well as he did later. Look at, if you will, Psalm 119, verse 68. Turn over there. Psalm 119, verse 68. Boy, I'm preaching fast. Man. Psalm 119, verse 68. Y'all listening good this morning. Look at verse 68. God is good. It's shown in his that it satisfies. His goodness is shown in his endurance. His goodness is shown in it, the universality of it. But I want you to see how it's really shown here in verse 68. Thou art good and what? Doest good. It's shown in his words. Did you know these poor little old kids mixed up about this global warming stuff, you know? They're going to be dead and gone if Jesus don't come back. And the sun's going to rise just like it always did. And it's going to go down just like it always did. And it's going to rain or not rain just like it always has. And guess what? God's still doing his good works. And did you know the sun shines on the just and the unjust? And did you know it rains on the just and the unjust? Did you know that God does good everywhere all the time? And we know that God's good by what he does. He does good. God's never hurt you. God's never beat you up. God's never, people say, well, God took so-and-so from it. No, it's appointed unto die. We all must die. God doesn't take that. You got to go. We all got to stand before God. Well, I used to have money and God took it away from me. No, you did that. Well, I used to have a husband and wife. God took it. No, you did that. That divorce is you. That's not God. Y'all still with me? Well, my kids turned out bad. That's not God, that's them. Would y'all get this in your head? God does good. God is good. God is goodness. Sin kills and steals and destroys. Not God. God doesn't do that. You need to get in your head, but thou art good and doest good, he said. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, if you will. Turn over and mark this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Look at verse 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone. You know what he's saying? There was a time that if you were to come to worship God, you had to bring certain sacrifices. You had to wash in a certain way to handle those sacrifices. And these people did it
ignoring everything they were taught, and did it anyway. And the prophet Hezekiah prayed and said, the good Lord pardon thee. Did you know he is shown good in his forgiving our sins? Now you look pretty good this morning. Yeah, you do. You look real good this morning. I'm proud of you. You ought to look like that when you go to the king's house.
Amen.
Amen. You look pretty good. You got on your Sunday best. But don't tell anybody to call me for a job reference. Here's what I'm going to tell them. They're going to say, what do you think about Brett? I'm going to say, Brett is a nice guy. When I see him, he dresses nice. He behaves nice. He's got a nice personality. Well, would you recommend him for a job? I said, I can't do that. I don't know him. I don't know how he's going to work. I don't know how he's going to behave. You have to talk to him. I tell you what, talk to his wife about that. You'll find out the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But let me tell you something. We have all sinned and come short the glory of God. Now you look real good right now, but tomorrow you might just get mad and do something you never thought you'd do. Amen. I had a fellow come to my church for 10 years. He called me one day and said, preacher, I'm in jail. I need you to pray for me. I said, what's wrong? He said, I robbed a convenience store. Never would have dreamed it. And I knew him real good personally too. Now, he got in a tough spot. He got afraid. He panicked. He didn't know what else to do. But here's how dumb he was. He had a construction company, and on the front of his hat had the name, his name of that construction company. It was in his name. On the side of his truck, he had a sign. He had pulled a big trailer with tools. On the trailer was the name of his construction, and then the construction company was his name. He robbed that thing, went down the road, 15 minutes later, they pulled him over and put him in jail. Now, God forgave him. God forgave him. And don't laugh too hard. You might do the same thing tomorrow. Just don't wear the hat and don't have a sign on your car. We know this guy that's in the nursing home now. He's a good Christian, been one for many years. But before he accepted Christ, he robbed a bank. He told me one day. He said this. He said, preacher, you know, I never would do that again. I'm saved. I wouldn't do that. I don't think like that. He said, but I've been thinking. You know, when you're in nursing home, you got a lot of time to think. He said, I've been thinking. If I did do it again, I'd get a horse. I said, why would you get a horse? He said, well, they caught me going down the road. I could cut off out across those fields and between those buildings and stuff. They would catch me. He said, I ain't going to do it. I'm But you know, God's good. He forgave that man. And he's one of the best Christians I've ever met in my life. Amen. You don't ever know what you're going to do. Don't you think you're somebody. Don't you think you're arrived because you have not arrived and you're just like the rest of us and you need forgiveness of sins and you better believe God's good, buddy. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good in the forgiving of sins. He's satisfying. He's enduring. He's universal. He shows it in doing good and he shows it in forgiving sins. Now, a lot of people don't like that. Why would you not like that? Why would you not like a good, loving, long-suffering, enduring God? Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 4 and 5. Well, let's just start with number one. I got time today. I got 3 minutes. Wow. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. against them which do commit such things. In other words, he's saying, we don't have much room to judge anybody. I can't tell you who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. I can't even tell you by the way they behave. I can't see their heart. Only God sees that. And but it says, but be sure God does know. Now look at this. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? There is a judgment coming. Though God is good to you, you got up out of bed today. Though God is good to you, you had clothes to wear, you had food to eat. Though God is good to you, you have family that loves you, family that came to see you get baptized. Though God is good to you, you have a good wife or a good husband. Or though God is good to you, you have a good job. Maybe you have a good income. Whatever it is, God's good to you. But be sure, God still judges sin.
Amen.
I can't judge your sins. Only God can do. I can tell you what sin is and what sin is not. But only God can condemn you.
Amen.
And here's the way I think about it. As long as there's breath, there's hope because God's good. People say, you need to pray for my son or my daughter, husband, wife, whatever. They won't get saved. And I said, look here. Long as there's breathing, there's hope. They may get saved tomorrow. They might get saved. They may wake up one day and say, God's good. He let his son die in my place. And he rose from the dead. And he paid my sin debt. And I'm going to believe on him. God's good. He lets us live another day. He takes care on the just and the unjust. You still with me? But God hates sin. Now, he doesn't hate the sinner. God's good to sinners. Amen. I get kind of controversial here. Look, people that do the vilest sin, God's still good to them. He let them breathe today. The wickedest, crookedest politician, God's good to them. They got up and walked around today. Come on, help me. The most rebellious son, the most rebellious daughter, God's still good to them. He's letting them live. But God will judge sin. And God will condemn sin. And God will punish the sin. But look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Man. He said, now you run around judging all these people and telling all these people they're going to hell and telling all these people all this stuff. He said, but do you despise the goodness of God? Do you not like the goodness of God that he's let them live and he's let them breathe and he's given them another opportunity and he wants them to go to heaven? He don't want them to go to hell because God's good and the goodness of God is what will lead them to repentance. Now, I preached on hell last week and I'm going to tell you something. The world preached more on hell. And you say, oh yeah, give them, probably not for the reason you think. The reason it is, if, when I got a glimpse of where I should go, hell, and then he showed me how I didn't have to go to hell, and then he showed me that he loved me so much, he sent his son to suffer my hell on the cross, that showed me how good God was. Now I already feared God. I feared hell. I knew if there was a list in hell, my name was on the top of it, and I had no excuse. I knew that. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew if there was a just God and a holy God, I ought to go to hell because I was everything opposite of what he was. I knew that. Didn't know anything about the Bible. Your conscience would tell you that if you listen to it. But when that preacher stood up there with tears in his eyes, he said, you don't have to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Son doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. The Word of God doesn't want you to go to hell. The angels of heaven don't want you to go to hell. Those great cloud of witnesses up there looking down right now, they don't want you to go to hell. And the people in hell are praying you don't come to hell. I saw the goodness of God and that led me to turn and go to Christ. That's repentance. Don't despise the goodness of God. I've heard Christians talk about other Christians that get in trouble and get in sin. And I've heard them say things like, I hope God gets them.
No, I hope he don't.
I hope he shows them goodness. I hope he shows them mercy, because see, that's what's going to draw them back to him. When I was growing up, we didn't know the rules till we broke them. Somebody would look at us and say, you stupid! I'm going to beat you! But nobody ever sat down and said, listen, let me tell you why I don't want you to do these things. It's because I love you. And it'll be a lot better for you if you don't do like this. God's not up there saying, boy, I hope you don't get saved. I want to kill you. I want to cast you into an everlasting fire. No, God's sitting up there saying, I'm going to be good to you one more day, and I'm going to let you see how much my son did for you, and I'm going to let you see how much I love you through the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to draw you, and he's going to put his arms around you. And that day I got saved, the Holy Ghost had my heart in his hand, and he was squeezing it, and I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't talk, and I couldn't do anything but cry, and I walked down that aisle as a 23-year-old boy, knew nothing about God, and as I was going down that aisle, I could feel the love of God wrapping around me and forgiving me, and with every tear and all that weeping, I could feel myself being cleansed of sin that I didn't know nothing about. Boy, I come out of that prayer room that day a different fella. And I don't despise the goodness of God. And I don't ask God to kill people. And I don't ask God to beat people up. I say, God, show him some of your goodness. God, go down there in that hog pen with that prodigal son and remind him how good the Father is. And remind him he had a good place. And he can go back to where he left. Shouldn't despise the goodness of God. And let me tell you something else, sinner. You shouldn't despise the goodness of God by ignoring it. You know how to lose your wife? Ignore her love. You know how to lose your husband? Ignore his love. You know how to lose your children? Ignore them. Listen, sinner, you know how to lose your soul? Ignore the goodness and the love of God. You go ahead and ignore it. And you say, not today. Come, I'll do it at a more convenient time. And that day, that moment, you ignored how good God's been to you. He was good enough to let you get up today. He was good enough to let you be born in free country where you can go to church anywhere you want to. He was good enough to get you in a church where you can hear the Bible unadulterated and unfiltered. Hey, he was good enough to let the Holy Spirit convict your heart and let you know you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And then he was good enough to let you know there is salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is receive him. That's good. Don't you despise that. He didn't have to tell you at all. He didn't have to call you at all. He could let you just go on your merry way and go to hell. But God's good. He's not going to do that. Don't ignore it. Don't despise it. God wants to save you. Did you know everything in this book is about saving you? Did you know everything in this book is about him and his goodness towards sinners so that we could go to heaven, we wouldn't have to go to hell? The whole book. On Wednesday night, we're studying types, and we see in the Old Testament the sacrifices and the tabernacle and the offerings and people and places and things represent Jesus Christ all through the Old Testament. And it was a promise of a Savior that was coming because God's good. Many times the children of Israel would turn away from God and they'd reject God's goodness, and God would let them have a little suffering. And you know what they'd do? Hezekiah, he'd say, preacher, go down there and remind them how good I am. And the preacher would show up, the prophet, and he'd say, all right, you can be this way if you want to, and here's how it's going to end up, but I want to remind you what God's done for you. God's been good for you. Now listen, come back to him, and it'll all be forgiven. Psalm 51, and I'll quit. My favorite psalm, many times I've turned to this psalm, if you will. Psalm 51. all kind of scriptures I didn't read about the goodness of God. Psalm 51, if you will. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. He was born that way. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressor thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. During the week I come in here, I don't even turn on lights most of the time, and I walk up and down these aisles. And I try to imagine where you sit. I can tell you who the people are out today and where they sit. And I walk in out. And I say, God, help. And I name them, you know. And I know what some of you are going through. And I'll pray for you, and I won't. But before I could do that Friday, you know what I did? The Spirit of God was so strong in here. I lay down on the floor. And I said, God, I'm like that publican that couldn't go up to the front in the temple. And the Pharisee, that hypocrite, he went up there and said that he was everything to everybody and even to God, you know. He said he thanked God that he wasn't like the publican. And I said, Lord, just like the publican, I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said, I ain't even worthy to get up there. I'm not worthy. He said, oh, preacher, you robbed a bank. No, not yet. But we've all sinned and come short of glory. Look, we're not even worthy of His goodness. Be honest with yourself. We're not worthy of His goodness, but He loves us anyway. And He sent forth His only begotten Son so that we could be saved. And He's good to us even when we're not good to Him. He's good to us. If you're not saved today, Devin, the other night, we went in that room back there and went through some scriptures. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on Christ. C, confess it with your mouth and call on Him. And he did that. And I said, now if you died, where are you going? He said, according to the scriptures, he said heaven. Now you see, that didn't make him any better, didn't you? It changed his destination. If he meant it, he'll have a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. He's already thinking spiritually. He wore a red shirt and didn't think about it until he got here. But the reason he did that is because God was good to him. Now, I don't know how much CJ had to do with that. I don't know. Maybe she had a hat that had something on it. I don't know. But I know God was good however it happened. God did that. You're not going to heaven because of the person that led you to Christ. You're going to heaven because God was good enough to give you somebody to lead you to Christ. If you're not saved today, I want to give you an invitation that you see how good God is. And just come up here and say, preacher, I just want to thank God for how good He is and ask Him to save me. And you can do like me. I didn't know what a virgin birth was. I didn't know what the inerrant scriptures meant. I didn't know what the bodily resurrection of Christ meant. All I knew is that I was a sorry, dirty, rotten, low-down sinner going to go to hell. And I turned to him and asked him to save me. And he saved me. Then he put all the other stuff in me.
Amen. Yes.
Well, I don't have the faith. He'll give you the faith. All the faith you need is one step.
Right.
If you make that first step by faith, he'll do the rest. And then some of you Christians, you hadn't thought about the goodness of God in so long. You got so busy. You got so tangled up in the things of the world and the people of the world that you've forgotten how good God is to you. And you ought to ask the Lord to forgive you for that. When I got saved, I called my mama that night and I said, "Mama, I got saved." And she started crying. I said, "Mom, you sick?" She said, "No, I'm happy." You see, God was good. How about you? When was the last time you told somebody about your salvation? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.